Hello, welcome to BBC Bite Size with the naked scientists Chris Smith and Kat Arney. Now, all animals and plants are made of cells, but what exactly are they and what's in them? So Kat, shed some light on this for us.
Cells are literally the building blocks of life, and all living things are made up of one or more cells, from a single-celled amoeba to human beings like you or I, or a gigantic oak tree. In fact, the average person is made up of millions and millions and millions of cells.
That's quite a lot. Are they all the same?
Well, yes and no. Most cells have common features, and there are some significant similarities between all animal cells and all plant cells, but there are important differences too. Cells can specialise to carry out specific jobs, meaning that we have muscle cells, skin cells, gut cells, some of us have brain cells, others don't seem to have too many of those at all.
Okay, well let's start with the things that cells have in common. Tell us about those.
The key thing that defines a cell, whether it's an animal or a plant cell, is having a cell membrane. This is a bit like a bag that holds all the rest of the cell stuff inside it. Most of this stuff is cytoplasm. That's a water-based mixture that's full of enzymes where most of the cell's activities go on. And pretty much all cells have a nucleus. That's where the DNA, the genetic code, is kept. These are the instructions that tell a cell what to do, when to grow, when to divide, multiply, what sort of cell to be. A notable exception is human red blood cells, which are so short-lived they don't really need a nucleus.
And what else do they have in common?
Animal and plant cells also need energy, and this is made by mitochondria. These can be thought of as the powerhouse of a cell, turning food into energy the cell can use to do its jobs. And all cells need to make proteins, which are needed to build the structure of the cell and carry out more important jobs within it. This is done by ribosomes, the factories of the cell.
But is there anything that's specific just to plant cells?
Plant cells do have some special modifications. For example, they have a tough cell wall made of cellulose. This surrounds the cell membrane, giving it strength and structure. This is why plants can be tough and woody, while humans are really rather soft and floppy. Plants also have chloroplasts. These are amazing little structures that contain chlorophyll and harness light energy. The chloroplasts turn the energy from the light into energy that plant cells can use through the process of photosynthesis. And finally, plant cells have something called a permanent vacuole.
That sounds a bit like a vacuum cleaner.
Now, a vacuole is just a space within the cell. It's usually full of watery sap, which helps to keep the cell nice and full and firm, or turgid, to use the scientific term.
Now, you mentioned earlier that we have different types of cells. So what sorts of modifications help them to do their jobs properly?
There's a close relationship between the structure and the function of a cell. Obviously, cells that carry out very specific jobs have evolved to be the best suited to that role. So plants have leaf cells, which are specifically evolved to trap as much light as possible for photosynthesis. The cells are regularly shaped, they pack closely together, forming a continuous layer, and this makes them really efficient at absorbing light. Not only that, but leaf cells are jam-packed with chloroplasts, and that enables them to trap as much light energy as possible.
Well, how about a different type of plant cell? What about a cell in the other end of the plant, the root?
You're probably thinking of root hair cells, and these are very different from leaf cells. They don't have any chloroplasts because they're in the ground. There's not a lot of light there. Instead, they have long, thin-walled, finger-like projections that grow outwards, pushing into the soil to absorb mineral ions and water. And this gives the cells a relatively large surface area, meaning they can absorb as much as possible from the surrounding soil.
Well, that's plants, so what about animal cells?
A great example of a specialised cell is a sperm, and that's a male sex cell whose role in life is to fertilise an egg, the female sex cell.
And why do you say sperm is so specialised, so special?
Well, they look a little bit like tadpoles, except the head is packed with the DNA that carries the genetic instructions to help make a baby. The head also carries a little package of potent enzymes, which help the sperm to break through the egg cell membrane during fertilisation. Under the head, there's a whole bunch of mitochondria, which provide all the energy that the sperm needs as it swims toward the egg, and it's also helped along by its long, whip-like tail.
And are there any other specialised cell types that I should know about?
Another good example is red blood cells, which are crammed with the protein hemoglobin. Now, this protein picks up oxygen and transports it around the body to wherever it's needed. Red blood cells are shaped a bit like a squashed donut, and this means they have a relatively large surface area to absorb more oxygen. The cell membrane is also very thin, and as I mentioned before, human red blood cells have no nucleus, and that leaves more room for hemoglobin.
Thanks, Kat. Well, that's all for part one. In part two, we'll find out how things get into cells and then out of them again.